Thank you, Pam. We missed you. Somehow or another, we held it together in your absence, and we're so glad that you got your daughter moved in Texas, and we welcome your folks here, Bradley. Good to see you this morning. You were in Texas, so welcome back to the state of not Texas. Those folks in Texas are kind of funny about that. Well, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So live as children of light. I remember from some history classes, I lived through this one, hearing the inaugural address of a certain president who talked about 1,000 points of light. Here's a trivia. Anybody know who that was? George Bush Sr., right? He gave that address. In his inaugural address, he talked about that. We can find meaning and reward by serving some higher purpose than ourselves, a shining purpose, the illumination of 1,000 points of light. We all have something to give. 1989. Here's one. This inscription is on stone and kind of immortalized now, a quotation from this president's inaugural address. Now the trumpet summons us again, not as a call to bear arms, though embattled we are, but a call to bear the burden of a long twilight struggle, a struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself. The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it, and the glow from that fire can truly light the world. Who's that? Anybody know? 1961, it probably wasn't Lincoln. Kennedy, right. Those words are inscribed over the eternal light, that eternal flame. And that was 1961. I just have to admit, I didn't see that one in person. If we watch the news, you'd think that the whole world really was concerned with the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. But I can tell you, neither one has the fullness of light on its own, right? It is not the source of all light. While their studios are lit and technology carries their images throughout the world, this light that Paul is talking about can't be found on Fox News or CNN. GE used to say, "We bring good things to life." I don't know if they still do or not. While they may fabricate millions of vacuum tubes with metal bottoms and thin filaments that glow when electrified, you know what those are? Light bulbs, right? That light turns off when you flip the switch, right? That's not exactly the light that Paul was talking about. The Kirby Theater across the street has a beautifully lit marquee, but the theater is not the light that Paul is describing. Some folks try to find the light in the form of hallucinations and things that aren't very healthy for us. I saw in the news kind of a tragic story of all those overdoses that happened in Connecticut with some a drug that they called that's a synthetic marijuana drug. And that is not the light we're looking for. That leads to destruction, although so many people, almost 100 of them, were looking for something to make their lives a little brighter, a little better. And they certainly didn't find it, tragically. We have even the inscription at the base of the Statue of Liberty, the poem, "The New Colossus." Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. That light has been a beacon to many, but that's just a statue. And if the people of the country lose the light of freedom, then that statue is just a hunk of metal, and a poem is just a poem. Even within the church, places which once had the light sometimes misplace it or cover it up with a bushel. Back in the day, certain great swaths of our Methodist Episcopal Church decided that slavery could be tolerated and segregation was okay with us. And that while Jesus may have appeared first to Mary and the women at the tomb, ordination of women to serve as clergy wasn't possible throughout a good bit of the 20th century. Sometimes that light, like the light that Paul says, neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, sometimes we take that light and we cover it up under a bushel. Even today, we in the church are shocked and deeply grieved to know that sexual abuse within the church has deeply wounded so many, as the headlines screamed this morning as I woke up to check the news. God, we have failed to be an obedient church. We say it all the time. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not heard the cry of the needy, and we repent. We turn from darkness, for Paul says we were darkness, and we want to live out the light. We ask you, God, to flood our hearts with your forgiveness and light. Now, this light and darkness business is kind of heavy. It really kind of bends us over under the weight of it. Sometimes you need a break, a rest from the heaviness of matters like darkness. So we turn to the lessons of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. You can take a breath. Remember the end of that wonderful movie? The end where Charlie is the last one left. He and his Grandpa Joe, the last one to make it through. All of his friends got sucked into chutes or turned into blueberries or whatever. Right? And they get to the end and Grandpa Joe asks Willy Wonka for the lifetime supply of chocolate because we made it. And Willy Wonka says, well, you don't get it. Why not? Asked Uncle Grandpa Joe. Because you broke the rules, says Willy Wonka. What rules? We didn't see any rules, did we, Charlie? He says. Wrong, sir, wrong. Under Section 37B of the contract signed by him, it states quite clearly that all offers shall become null and void. Well, actually, Lynn, could you help me with this? There's some legalese here. Et cetera, fax mentis incendium gloria cultum, et cetera, memo pis punitor delicatum. It's all there, black and white, clear as crystal. You stole fuzzy lifting drinks. You bumped into the ceiling, which now has to be washed and sterilized. So you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir, he says. You remember that scene? I think I cried and ran up to my room when I heard that scene. Grandpa Joe says furiously, you're a crook, you're a cheat and a swindler. That's what you are. How can you do a thing like this? Build up a little boy's hopes, then smash all his dreams to pieces. You're an inhuman monster, says Grandpa Joe. Wonka says, good day, sir. Grandpa Joe says, come on, Charlie, let's get out of here. We'll get back at this Wonka. I'll get even with him if it's the last thing I ever do. If Slugworth, remember the villain Slugworth that wants the everlasting gobstopper? If Slugworth wants a gobstopper, that's what he'll get. Charlie is about to leave when Charlie slowly walks up to Wonka and says, Mr. Wonka, and remember, he takes that beautiful gobstopper that he was going to steal, and he slides it and puts it on the desk. And Willy Wonka says, so shines a good deed in a weary world. Right? You did it, Charlie, you did it. And then a world of imagination and everything unfolds, and Charlie gets everything he'd ever dreamed of. And so shines a good deed in a weary world. Willy Wonka knew something about light and darkness. And Graham Lotz, in a not fictional story, Billy Graham's daughter, told a story that I saw on video one time of one of the many times that a TV crew came into her living room, her dad being kind of famous, Billy Graham's daughter, and they would do an interview. The family would have worked hard to put everything in order to clean and vacuum, but when the big spotlights of the TV crew came on, inevitably she would see, all to her horror, the dust bunnies that she didn't see under the ordinary light when you shine a brighter light into their lives. And so she made a very biblical and theological point about how the light of Christ often illuminates the dust bunnies of our lives that we'd rather not show to anyone, but they're there all the same, all the while. So Paul is saying, essentially, to use Anne Graham Lotz's analogy, we've all got dust bunnies, and it's time to let God's light show us where they are and clean them out. Some of what we'll be talking about when this book study kicks off this week in Anatomy of Peace is how these dust bunnies, if you will, can actually work to destroy our relationship. We have the opportunity to engage someone as a human being with love and compassion, but instead we decide we're better than them, or we're entitled to something that they're not, or we need to be seen as having a certain status and reputation, and so then we justify ourselves and we treat them as an object and separate ourselves from us. And when we do, we are living in darkness. Or as the book that we'll be reading together says, we will adopt, we'll have a way of being that is a heart at war instead of a heart at peace. We become darkness. We have sinned against you, O God, in thought and word and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. So Paul exhorts us, encourages us, admonishes us, begs us to live, to be light, to leave darkness behind. And just as a reminder of grace, lest we think that I'm just picking on us as a church, that we are particularly sinful. No, I'm not. It's everywhere and always. In fact, Paul was talking about how we were darkness when he was talking to the church back in Ephesus, way back when, 2,000 years ago, who was struggling with sin and the little dust bunnies of relationships. So he says, for once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So live as children of the light and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes light. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Wake up, sleeper, is not a favorite, well, it is a favorite line of pastors looking out at a congregation. Wake up, sleeper. Got a little something here I could, maybe with some good aim, could get you. Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Oh, Paul is not talking about falling asleep in a dull sermon. Paul is talking about walking through life with this numbness that doesn't recognize the darkness that we live in the midst of and the power of the light that we carry within ourselves, Christ's redemptive light. Our God specializes in bringing things that are dark into the light. Our God specializes in taking things that were dead and bringing them back to life. In Isaiah chapter 43, it says, forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness where there was no way. I am making streams flow in the wasteland where there was no water, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, that they may proclaim my praise. That is a good word. That is the word of the God who we worship. Our God specializes in bringing new life where only bones have been. Remember the most well-known words of Ezekiel found in chapter 37. When Ezekiel the prophet says, the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, set me in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. Them bones, them bones, them dry bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry, and I would add, very dead. He asked me, son of man, can these bones live? And I said, sovereign Lord, you alone know. And then he said, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, Ezekiel said, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, and the ankle bones connected to the shin bone, and the shin bones connected to the knee bone, right? Prophesied the name of the Lord, and those bones lived. Son of man, can these bones live? Long memorial. Can dead bones live? What do you think? A long time ago, I thought I was going to be a teacher in the public schools. During one of my education classes in college, we took a field trip from Kalamazoo, Michigan. Yes, there's really a Kalamazoo, and that's where I went to school. We took a field trip to Chicago, which is only a couple hours away, and we visited a very inner city school. We've seen Chicago in the news recently because of the violence in the city. There's a lot of violence then, too, back in the early 90s. And this school was really in kind of a rough neighborhood, but it was a magnet school. It was like the School of Science and Math here. It was filled with brilliant students who knew everything about science and math as much as you could possibly know as high schoolers. These were brilliant kids. And as we looked at them and we talked to them about their education, there was this lack of hope because they said colleges, they won't come to our neighborhood. No colleges, no recruiters come to our school. So what's the point? And you could just feel the air in the room being sucked out of their what should have been spirit of hope for a future. But nobody paid attention. No one invested beyond the walls of the school. The greater society didn't recognize the eternal value of these young people. And so I think that they were saying within their spirit, cynicism and apathy were creeping in, saying our bones are dead and there's nothing we can do about it. No one pays attention. But today you don't have to go to Chicago to find places where the forces of this world, the days are evil, says Paul. The forces of this world, forces of segregation, forces of poverty, forces of isolation are affecting kids as close as Roxborough. And so, this church has heard the call, long memorial, can these bones live? Do these kids have a future? We've said yes. And so programs and ministries like Hand in Hands that was started out of this church to go and pay attention to kids at South Elementary School have sprung forth. And now there's tutors and there's reading buddies and there's books being provided and there's resources from this church and many others. Brothers and sisters, do these kids have a future? Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And that's what church can be all about. Another ministry, Backpack Pals, which needs help in donations and labor to pack over 200 backpacks every week for kids when they go home from school so that they can eat through the weekend. Can these bones live? Yes, they can. And when schools are adopted in the name of Jesus, children are paid attention to in the name of Jesus, invested in, communities are revitalizing. It's happening in Roxborough. It's happening. There's a preschool that operates out of this very church. There's 100 kids, and how many parents would you say each of those kids have? 1.9, maybe? You know? That's 100 kids and 200 or so parents. They come here every day of the week. They're getting ready to come back. Long Memorial, can these bones live in our community? We say no, we shout yes by the power of God. With his light, Jesus has blessed us to be a blessing. For we follow Jesus who said in Matthew 6, 19 through 21, don't build up treasures for yourself on earth where thieves can rob and moths destroy, but build treasures up in heaven by showing God's love to those who have never experienced it. Then we can join with Jesus who was without paralyzing fear as he went into the home of the little girl who had died and said, Jesus said in Mark 5, 38, she's not dead. She's asleep. And everyone laughed at Jesus. But Jesus went into that room, took her by the hand, and said, Talita kum, little girl, get up. She's not dead. She was just sleeping. And she got up. This is the work of our Lord in the world, to raise the dead, to encourage the discouraged, to listen to the voiceless, to bind up the brokenhearted, to bring sight to those who can't see anymore. To bring sight to those whose eyes haven't seen a horizon in years because of the weight of the world has bent them over in two. Therefore, Paul says, make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil and you are the light. You are the hope of the world because Christ lives in you. The forces of division are dividing us one from another, straining the love that God has placed between and around us. The days are evil, as they always have been, isolating us from one another and tearing us away from community, as the tormented man in the region of the Gerasenes was forced to live by himself. That division, that isolation, it finds its way into the church. I've heard twice this week people say, I wish that we could get to know the folks that come to the early service. Well, get to know them. You know where they meet. You know when they meet, 8:45. Let's find some ways to get together. And yet we're tempted to think, we can't get together. We're separate. We're isolated. They go to that service way over there on the other side of the building. Therefore, Paul says, don't be foolish. Seek to understand what the Lord's will is, to do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God, to feed the hungry, to heal the sick, to clothe the naked, to visit the imprisoned, to proclaim the year of mercy and jubilee. This is vitally important. Paul says, speak to one another with hymns and psalms and spiritual songs. Songs. We all love songs. There's a lot of meaningless songs out there. The Beach Boys made a whole career out of singing about the little deuce coupe and bikinis and surfing and things, right? That's fun. There's nothing wrong with the music. There's not much point to it, but it's fun. I heard this delightful, delightful video on the internet. You can see anything on the internet, but it was Dick Van Dyke at a Denny's with a couple of young a cappella men who were his backup, and he was singing Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. How many of you love Chitty Chitty Bang Bang? Oh, oh, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. That song means nothing, and it's so fun to sing. Nowadays, the young people sing about Lambos and Rolexes on their arms and things like that, but things are really about the same. I just happened to see a video of my classmates at our senior celebration, and there were hundreds of kids passionately jumping up and down and singing on this video that was on VHS tape. The camera was probably like this big, right? And they were singing, "You gotta fight, boom, for your right, boom, to party," is what it... That's nonsense. Nonsense. That's my class. You gotta fight for your right to party. Paul says the days are short. Be wise. I'm reminded of someone who was fighting for a certain right. Maybe you've seen the movie, I commend it to you, the movie Gandhi, starring Ben Kingsley, which I think was in the 80s it came out. It's quite a while ago. But Gandhi's first protest, you might know him from India, but originally he started to become active in South Africa. And it shows in this amazingly powerful scene where Gandhi decides he will stand up for rights. There was a pass system. So if you weren't a citizen of the British Empire, if you were a foreigner, you had to carry around an ID, but British citizens didn't have to carry it around, and it was a tool of discrimination and of separation and segregation. And so Gandhi was saying, today we believe this is unjust, and he's standing there, and he's saying, we are going to burn our passes. He was not one of those citizens. We're going to burn our passes. And he was in full view of the local police, who said, you can't burn those. Those are government property. And he said, we are here nonviolently to take action and expose these passes as an injustice to a whole group of people. And so after the police said stop, he lit up his pass. And they came over and they said, if you do that again, you're going to get arrested. And he took another pass of another person in his leadership committee that was working to change these laws, and he burned another one. And this time, he got his arm whacked by a stiff rod. And after he fell to the ground, his arm was hurt. He looked up at the police officer, and he took another pass, and he dropped it into the fire. The police officer hit him even harder. And while he continued to grapple with it, fighting not for his right to party, God forgive us, but fighting for all people to be able to live as children of God. Don't be unwise, but wise. Don't be foolish. Understand what the Lord's will is. Don't fill yourself with liquids that dull the senses. Don't fill yourself with idle chatter that dulls the mind and quenches the spirit. Instead, be filled with the Spirit and understand what the Lord's will is, because the days are short and there is much evil about. To live such a life, speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Or in a few moments, our call to prayer. Jana's going to play it. Lord, listen to your children praying. Send your Spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children praying. Send us love. Send us power. Send us grace. Yes, God, we will sing and make music in our hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. You are the light. Give thanks for that light. Now that is a great thanksgiving. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'd invite you to turn in your Faith We Sing, of which I'm going to need to find one, in the Faith We Sing, to number 2193, Lord, listen to your children praying. We're going to sing this through a couple of times. It's a short little verse there, chorus, and this is our invitation, our call to prayer. We come to our time of prayer. We offer prayers for the family of Juanita Marshall and for all those we name in our hearts at this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. I have a list of some of the ministries of our church that we're going to pray for this morning during a continuation of our prayer time. And if I mention one of the ministries that you're a part of, I just invite you to stand up so that we can pray for you. Or raise your hand if you're not comfortable standing up. Or if you're not comfortable doing that, just raise your little pinky finger so no one else can see. So that we can be in prayer for you. For our United Methodist Women's Circles, the Margaret Phipps Circle, and all the ways they help others, especially young women. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. For the Thompson Long Merit Pass Circle, as you inspire the work of retirees and others who are part of your circle. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. For the Mary Nichols Anna Webb Circle, as they put their faith into action. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. For the Mary Harris Lois Newman Circle, as they engage in mission projects and love one another in discipleship, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. For the United Methodist Men, as they serve the church and our neighbors. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. For Backpack Pals, as these volunteers and coordinators feed hundreds of hungry children in our county. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. For Hand in Hand at South Elementary, especially those who send notes of encouragement, those who tutor, those who assist teachers, those who provide hospitality for faculty and staff, and for the church at large and all of its donations. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. For the United Methodist Children's Home, who are supported by the Wesley Brown Crusaders and others, providing foster care for many of our state's most vulnerable children, many of whom have been rescued from situations of unfathomable abuse and neglect. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. For the Christian Help Center and the neighbors it serves, some of whom are living on our surrounding streets and in wooded lots very nearby. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And for the seeds of mission ventures and opportunities to serve one another, which have not borne fruit yet, but which you will water with your grace, God, and bring to fruition, we pray for these endeavors yet to come. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. For all those who are listed in our prayer list, we ask that your hand would be upon them. For those who are grieving the loss of loved ones recently, for those who are dealing and caring for those with memory problems, for those who are sick with incurable disease, for those who are struggling through and continuing to thrive and beat the cancer that is afflicting their bodies, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And now, God, hear the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.